شهران مر من عمر حركة احتل وول ستريت، بدأت بعشرات في حي المال والأعمال بمدينة نيويورك، واليوم تسير مظاهرات بالآلاف. الحركة أعدت لهذا التحرك منذ أسابيع، لكن تحركها اكتسب زخما أكبر بعد مهاجمة الشرطة لما يسمى ميدان الحرية، وإجبار النشطاء على إخلائه وتجريدهم بحكم قضائي من كل مقومات البقاء والمبيت في الميدان. إذا بقي للحركة فقط حق تنظيم مسيرات ومظاهرات، وهي لذلك تصعد احتجاجاتها لإبقاء القضايا التي تطرحها حية وفي الواجهة.
It'll be enough when we get some concrete policy.
سنتوقف عن الاحتجاج فقط حينما نجد تغيرا ملموسا في السياسات. على سبيل المثال، حينما يتمكن أوباما من تمرير قانون الوظائف الذي لا يزال يواجه طريقا مسدودا في الكونغرس.
قطاعات واسعة من الشباب والعاطلين عن العمل والنقابات والاتحادات المهنية والعمالية تدعم الحركة، لكنها في المقابل تواجه معارضة من القوى اليمينية ووسائل إعلامها، بل أيضا من قطاع في الحزب الديمقراطي التي تشكل الحركة جزءا من قاعدته. هذا الانقسام امتد أيضا إلى بلدية نيويورك وإلى شرطتها، ولا سيما حول كيفية التعامل مع الحركة والموازنة بين كفالة الحق في التعبير وضمان الأمن والسلامة العامة، وخاصة مع وجود عشرات من الدعاوى القضائية أمام المحاكم.
As for my relationship with the police, it's
العلاقة مع الشرطة ليست على ما يرام، وكما في حالتي فقد اعتقلت مرتين وقد اعتقل مجددا في الاحتجاجات القادمة.
I'll probably be arrested again.
ورغم هذه الحشود، إلا أن خصوم الحركة يرون أنها فشلت في تحقيق أي من أهدافها، ولا سيما بعد إجبارها على إخلاء ميدان زوكوتي بارك. أما أنصارها فيرون أنها حققت نصرا بنجاحها في إثارة الجدل والنقاش، وبتجاوزها حدود عاصمة المال والأعمال إلى مختلف أنحاء البلاد.
ففي عاصمة السياسة واشنطن سيرت الحركة مظاهرة كبيرة، وكذلك في مدن أخرى. في كل مكان في أمريكا أصبحت الحركة موضوعا للجدل بين الساسة، ومادة للحملات الانتخابية وللنقاش العام، خاصة حول القضايا التي تثيرها، ومنها رفع نسبة الضرائب على الأثرياء لتمويل برامج الصحة والتعليم وخلق فرص العمل، بعد دفع مليارات لإنقاذ شركاتهم من الإفلاس. مطلب يتشارك فيه المتظاهرون وإدارة الرئيس أوباما، التي وجدت نفسها في المقابل هدفا لهجوم الجمهوريين بسبب ما يعتبرونه ضعفا في مواجهة حركة يرون أنها تهدد الأمن والسلامة العامة، وتنتهك حريات الآخرين، وتهدد أعمالهم ومصالحهم. مراد هاشم، الجزيرة، نيويورك.
Ya hemos preparado su piel con un hidratante, en este caso matificando. ¿Por qué? Porque la mayoría de las pieles activas son grasas. Además de prepararla, tenemos productos indispensables. Va a aportar sobre todo a la piel un poco de matificante y luminoso en determinadas zonas.
And if these algorithms, like the algorithms on Wall Street, just crashed one day and went awry, how would we know? What would it look like? And they're in your house, right? They're in your house, right? These are two algorithms competing for your living room. These are two different cleaning robots that have very different ideas about what clean means. And you can see it if you slow it down and attach lights to them. And they're sort of like secret architects in your bedroom. Yeah. And the idea that architecture itself is somehow subject to algorithmic optimization is not far-fetched. It's super real and it's happening around you. You feel it most when you're in a sealed metal box, a new style elevator. They're called destination control elevators. These are the ones where you have to press what floor you're going to go to before you get in the elevator, uses what's called a bin packing algorithm. So none of this mishigas of just letting everybody go into whatever car they want. Everybody wants to go to the 10th floor goes into car 2, and everybody wants to go to the 3rd floor goes into car 5. And the problem with that is that people freak out. People panic. And you see why, right? You see why? It's because the elevator is missing some important instrumentation, like the buttons, right? Like the things that people use. All it has is just the number that moves up or down and that red button that says stop. And this is what we're designing for. We're designing for this kind of machine dialect. And how far can you take that? How far can you take it? You can take it really, really far. So let me take it back to Wall Street. Okay? Because the algorithms of Wall Street are dependent on one quality above all else, which is speed. And they operate on milliseconds and microseconds. And just to give you a sense of what microseconds are, it takes you 500,000 microseconds just to click a mouse. But if you're a Wall Street algorithm and you're 5 microseconds behind, you're a loser. So if you were an algorithm, you'd look for an architect like the one that I met in Frankfurt, who was hollowing out a skyscraper, throwing out all the furniture, all the infrastructure for human use, and just running steel on the floors to get ready for the stacks of servers to go in. All so that an algorithm could get close to the internet. And you think of the internet as this kind of distributed system, and of course it is, but it's distributed from places, right? In New York, this is where it's distributed from. It's a Carrier Hotel located on Hudson Street. And this is really where the wires come right up into the city. And the reality is that the further away you are from that, you're a few microseconds behind every time. These guys down on Wall Street, Marco Polo and Cherokee Nation, they're 8 microseconds behind all these guys going in to the empty buildings being hollowed out up around the Carrier Hotel. And that's going to keep happening. We're going to keep hollowing them out because you, inch for inch, and pound for pound, and dollar for dollar, none of you could squeeze revenue out of that space like the Boston Shuffler could. But if you zoom out, you would see an 825-mile trench between New York City and Chicago. It's been built over the last few years by a company called Spread Networks. This is a fiber optic cable that was laid between those two cities to just be able to traffic one signal 37 times faster than you can click a mouse. Just for these algorithms, just for the carnival and the knife. And when you think about this, that we're running through the United States with dynamite and rock saws so that an algorithm can close the deal 3 microseconds faster, all for a communications framework that no human will ever know. That's a kind of manifest destiny, and we'll always look for a new frontier. Unfortunately, we have our work cut out for us. This is just theoretical. This is some mathematicians at MIT, and the truth is, I don't really understand a lot of what they're talking about. It involves light cones and quantum entanglement, and I don't really understand any of that, but I can read this map. And what this map says is that if you're trying to make money on the markets where the red dots are, that's where people are, where the cities are, you're gonna have to put the servers where the blue dots are to do that most effectively. And the thing that you might have noticed about those blue dots is that a lot of them are in the middle of the ocean. So that's what we'll do. We'll build bubbles or something, or platforms. We'll actually park the water, right, to pull money out of the air, because it's a bright future if you're an algorithm. And it's not the money that's so interesting, actually. It's what the money motivates, right? That we're actually terraforming the Earth itself with this kind of algorithmic efficiency. And in that light, you go back and you look at Michael Najjar's photographs and you realize that they're not metaphor, they're prophecy, right? They're prophecy for the kind of seismic terrestrial effects of the math that we're making. And the landscape was always made by this sort of weird, uneasy collaboration between nature and man. But now there's this kind of third coevolutionary force, algorithms, the Boston Shuffler, the carnival. And we will have to understand those as nature And in a way, they are. Thank you.
Indeed you do.